Look at a country like Nigeria. Nigeria, you cannot even social distance in the slums of Ajegunle or Lagos Island. You can't. When COVID seeded into America, and my brothers and sisters hear me, so you can have information and wake up. When COVID seeded into America, at the same time, people left Wuhan and went to Nigeria. When the people got to Nigeria, before they came, the WHO always recommends that if you're going to sub-Saharan Africa, you should have anti-malarials. So when they came to Nigeria, they were on anti-malarials, atropine, camphorquine, flavopine, meflopine, hydroxychloroquine. They were on some kind of anti-malarials. So when they got to Nigeria, they could not see this infection into Nigeria because they were on anti-malarials. So it knocked out the infection before they got there.
Welcome, everybody, to another, I guess, I don't know if I want to call it episode or interview or series. This is something. But we've been interviewing in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks, maybe even a little bit longer. We've been talking to some very prominent leaders when it comes to this whole COVID, coronavirus, pandemic. And today, I'm very excited because what we wanted to do is we wanted to, again, speak to how we as a people can make sure that we, especially as a community, we can take care of ourselves. We're going into flu season. There's all these scares about numbers going up. There's just a lot of fear that's being put out there. And I want to put professional, intelligent, educated people in front of you so you can hear what they have to say. Because yes, there again, there's the mainstream media that's saying something, but there has to be another voice out there. So it gives you guys a point of reference. And this is what we're doing here today. So today I have Dr. Stella Emmanuel, and she is known as the COVID doctor, who says, and I love this, that CNN has been her biggest promoter. I loved it when I heard her say that. So she has been highly recommended, and she was recommended for a video she did with a group of doctors, and it was by actual Donald Trump, who highly recommended her. This video, of course, has been pulled down. In lots of ways, they've tried to ostracize her, but this woman's voice is powerful. She will not be silenced. She continues to speak. She speaks the word of God. She speaks truth. She speaks health back into her community and her clients and her patients. I would like to introduce to everybody Dr. Stella Emmanuel. Welcome, Dr. Emmanuel. How are you?
I am doing excellent. I'm honored to be here today. I always love to be able to speak to the community. I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell everyone kind of where you're from? Let's start with that. Where are you from originally?
I'm from West Africa, Cameroon. I went to medical school in Nigeria. So there's been a lot of confusion about whether I'm Nigerian or where. I'm actually from Cameroon, West Africa. I went to medical school in Nigeria. I graduated medical school. I did general medicine in Nigeria. Then I came over to the U.S. maybe about 28, 29 years ago. And I did residency in pediatrics, but that's the residency program I could find. So when I finished my pediatric residency, I opened a pediatric clinic. I moved to Louisiana, opened a pediatric clinic. I also continued to work in the emergency room, keeping my general medicine skills and developing some really very critical skills, which have been very, very good for me during this COVID pandemic. So I basically have worked in the emergency room for years and owned a pediatric clinic. About 3 years ago, I closed down my pediatric clinic and I just worked in the emergency room for 3 years. Last year, I moved to Houston. I've moved to Houston for about maybe 3 to 5 years, and I've been going back and forth to Louisiana to work in the emergency room. But once I got my Texas license about this time last year, I acquired a walk-in clinic, kind of urgent care-like clinic, where you could see patients and I'd be able to do some of the procedures I do in the emergency room, like give IV fluids, sutures, bust out boils, and just do some of these little procedures that I can do in the emergency room. And so it's kind of like urgent care, So that's what I've been doing, and basically taking care of my patients until this whole pandemic hit. Mm. And interestingly, when this thing started about February, we were a little perplexed. In fact, if you look at the videos we did, like February, March, we look like space aliens. We had like suits, we had space suits, we had all kinds of PPE put on because it was horrible, because a good 15, 20% of my patients come from Middle East and, you know, Far East and China and everything. So we had all these space suits, we had PPE, we were PPE decked up, you know. So around March sometime, I was told that hydroxychloroquine works by a pharmacist friend of mine that told me that, you know, we're getting news out of China, out of Europe, that they're using hydroxychloroquine and it's working. So, of course, I was excited. I grew up in Africa. We took chloroquine, camoquine, flavoquine. We took it Sunday, Sunday. We call it Sunday, Sunday medicine. I tell people all the time, I say, this is Sunday, Sunday medicine. You know, so we took it. We were given for anti-malaria. So because we took that, I was excited. I use these medications. People that are traveling to Africa and people that are traveling abroad, I've been able to put them on that medicine if they are going to endemic areas. I've put people on mefloquine and flavoquine and, you know, hydroxychloroquine. So it was a pretty easy thing for me, a pretty easy decision for me, because I know this medication. So, of course, I jumped into it. I went and did a little more research. I found out that in 2005, there was a study that was done under Anthony Fauci that showed that hydroxychloroquine was not just a very potent inhibitor and potent treatment for COVID. It could also be used as prevention. So
who did you hear this from? What study? Who did this study?
Oh, I mean, it's online. Just go on NIH 2005 study on COVID and hydroxychloroquine. It's online. You can pick it. You can find it.
Oh, wow.
It was done under the NIH. And Anthony Fauci was the boss at the time that they did this study. And then they found out that coronavirus was inhibited by hydroxychloroquine. Not only was it was also a potent cure. It was not just it was also could be used for vaccine. This was done in 2005, and this is what they said about it. I was excited.
Right.
And of course, Harrison Principles of Medicine also had a place there where they talk about hydroxychloroquine being very potent on SARS, on coronaviruses. In what way? Number one, it decreases uptake of the virus. It stops replication, that stops multiplication of the virus. And then it also opens zinc channels and allows zinc into the cell. You know, I'm not going to go into the technicality of it, you know, because it changes the pH of the cell. So it allows these viruses to be killed. So basically, from what we got, it made sense for us to be able to use it early. And it made sense for us to use it for prevention. Because if it stops viral uptake, that means if it's in your system, the virus is not going to come in. If it stops viral replication, that means if it's in your system, the virus is not going to multiply. If it kills the virus with zinc channel, that means even at even when you've had the disease already and it's already into your cell, it's still going to kill it. So it made a lot of sense for me. So we started using it and the results were remarkable. We had patients that we saw we saw patients, if they came in within like 48 hours and we put them on hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax, I mean, they got well like almost immediately. Wow. 48 hours, 24 hours, they got better. So I was excited. And with that too, we decided that we're going to put up my staff, we're all going to go on this medicine for prevention because of the mechanism of action. And we knew that we also had stories coming out of India that they were giving it to healthcare workers for prevention. Even in New York, they were giving it to healthcare workers for prevention. So we got on it. And my staff has been on this medication for the past 6 months. We treat COVID patients heavily. I mean, we had to actually split our clinic because I had a walk-in clinic, and on two doors away, I had a pediatric clinic. So what we did is that we changed our walk-in clinic to treat COVID only. And then the pediatric side, we now use it to treat other patients. And our regular COVID clinic is busy. It's busy every day. We see sometimes 20, 30 patients on a daily basis that are coming for treatment for COVID. And we're seeing amazing results. As at the time that we went viral, I had seen about 350 patients. But right now, it's been thousands. It's been over 1,000 patients.
Oh, wow.
In fact, we've lost count. Because since I went viral, people drive 2 hours, 1.5 hours to come to see us. People fly from other states to come see us. I practically had a woman drive from Florida, drove 4.5 hours to cross into Louisiana so that they could call on the phone and I could see them telehealth. So we're seeing patients telehealth. We're seeing them right now and being able to get them treatment and get them effective treatment. And they're doing very well. I mean, so far we've lost three patients that I know about. Why I say that I know about is because since we're doing a lot of telehealth, sometimes we're not following up. We don't know whether something has happened. And, you know, we've lost about three patients, and it's been heart-wrenching. But those three patients, one of them was a 92-year-old, that when they got sick and we treated them, they got better. They were still having a little bit of diarrhea and everything. We told her to go get IV fluid. She's like, nope, I'm not going to the hospital. If I go to the hospital, I'm going to die there. They're not going to let my family see me. She refused to go. Okay. We had another man in his 60s that had a stroke, had diabetes, too, that passed away. And the one that was so heart-wrenching was a 44-year-old diabetic, had sleep apnea. He was sick. And we treated him telehealth. And then he called because his oxygen was dropping. We told him, go to the emergency room. This young man refused to go to the emergency room. He said, no, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die here with my family. I'm not going to go to the emergency room, and then they'll lock me up, and then I will never come out of there. And this man stayed home, and he passed away. It was so heart-wrenching. I was like, people should not stay home because they're scared to go to the emergency room. So when we started in March, it was all kinds of attacks. I was excited with the results I was getting. So I went on, and I started, you know, telling my colleagues, and I was writing on, I was part of big doctor groups with 30,000 doctors and stuff. I was writing on these groups, talking about how this medicine works. I'm seeing patients, they're being treated. Find out, crazily, these doctors kept saying, you need a double-blinded study. You need a double-blinded study. I said, no, you don't. You don't need a double-blinded study when people are dying.
Right.
You cannot just get up and just say, you know, you should just keep quiet because, oh, you don't need a double-blinded study. You can't do that. You need double-blinded studies when you're doing it, you know, when people are sick. It's actually unethical. So doctors were arguing, leftist doctors were arguing because they just did not want. I could not understand how a doctor could sit down and allow patients to die or hear that it's a great treatment and instead get attacked.
Right.
And of course, we have many people. Dr. Rahul did a lot of studies in France, and he was attacked and vilified. We had Dr. Armstrong that saw patients in the nursing home, the Texas, what came after him. It was so crazy. Dr. Zelenko was attacked. All of us that were sick. So, in fact, how did all of us frontline doctors meet? It was because we have all been fighting this battle individually online.
Right.
We're fighting and writing and fighting with other people. No, you have to see patients. This medication works. Don't let people die and everything. So we started connecting with each other.
Yes.
Dr. Brian, you know, we started connecting with each other just like where somebody will see me fighting somewhere and then they'll see him fighting somewhere. They'll be like, you know what, you need to meet this lady. That is how we started connecting. And then we're thankful because one of our senators, Dr. Bob Hall, started doing town hall meetings with us. So, you know, like they said, they said, Texas doctors, they said, we were bad and we're not just going to sit down and just let people die. So we stood up and we fought. And a bunch of us in Texas stood up and said, no, we're not going to just let that go. We're going to treat patients. We got vilified. We got attacked. We got all kinds of things. But I was like, sorry, I'm not just going to let patients die. It's just not going to happen. You know, and the Texas what came after me, and then they let it go. They came after other doctors. They are still working with it. It was just crazy. Mm-hmm. So like, no, it's not going to happen. We're going to take care of patients. And, you know, it's been so crazy because right now, like I said, we've seen over 1,000 patients. I've lost count. We have a lot of patients that are coming to our clinic that are too sick to come to a clinic. We had a young a man already in his 60s showed up at my clinic. His oxygen was 66%. And I'm like, don't come. I am not an emergency room. Go to the emergency room. The wife is looking at us like, no, I'm not going to the emergency room. Dr. Stella, you have to treat us. I was like, your oxygen is too low. 60% oxygen is too low. It's almost, the guy was practically blue. You know, I was like, no, I was saying, no, you can't come here. He's like, oh, no, at least give us a little treatment. So in that situation, we gave him a breathing treatment. His oxygen came up to 70-something percent. We gave him a dose of hydroxychloroquine, which would be protective. At least that dose inside the system might help him not make it through the hospital if he goes there and they refuse to give him the appropriate treatment.
Right.
Because people are scared that they'll go to the hospital and they'll refuse to give them the appropriate treatment and then they'll let them die. So this guy, we practically begged this man to go to the emergency room before he went. The same day we had somebody in 83 came to the clinic, oxygen 87%. They're like, oh, no, we're not going to go. Dr. Stella, you have to treat us. Okay, well, anyway, that one, at least, he got better. We treated him. His oxygen came up to like 92%. We sent him home with medication and told him, go to the emergency room if you feel any worse. Remember that we already gave you some HCQ. So if you go to the emergency room, it will protect you. You're not going to get that bad. The medication stays in your system for a long time. So this is when these critically ill patients show up. Right now, what we do is that we just try to give them a dose of the medication in the clinic, so that way it will be protective if they show up in the emergency room and those crazy doctors that don't want to treat patients refuse to give them what it will take for them to get better. This is so crazy.
Doctor, why are people so scared to go to the emergency room?
Because I believe that our hospitals have become a jail cell of death. People are going to the hospital. They are not giving them effective treatment. They are asking for hydroxychloroquine. They are refusing to give them. They are giving them steroids, giving them everything. That sometimes they put them on remdesivir. I don't work in the hospital, so I don't know how remdesivir works. Mm-hmm. I don't know how effective it is. But I know that a lot of people are going to the hospital and they're not giving them the medicine that they need. And then they put them in the hospital. They take them away from their family. And then they never see their family again. It's becoming like Hotel California. You can only go in, but you can never come out. So people are scared to go to the hospital. Our hospitals should not become a jail cell of death. Our hospital should not become a place where people can go in and cannot come out. That can go in and their families are not there to advocate for them. People died in the nursing home without their family. People died in hospitals and the family never saw them again. You know something? So I don't know why. If you can do PPE for patients, if you can do PPE for nurses to see their family, give patients, put PPE on people and let them see their family. Don't just lock them in there and then that's it. And there's nobody to advocate for them. Nobody's seeing how they are doing. You know what I'm saying? It's scary. It's seriously scary. If we've gotten to a place that people are sick and they are scared to go to the hospital. But that is even crazier. Because when I posted this on Twitter, the response I got was heart-wrenching. People were saying, yes, I had a cut on my foot. I will not go to the hospital. It got infected. Right now, I'm going for... You know what I'm saying? People have been stayed home because they are scared to go to the hospital. People have died from other serious diseases. People have allowed cancer to eat their body because they are scared to go to the emergency room because, they're going to say they have coronavirus, whether they have it or not. That is the attitude people are having, especially now that we're getting all kinds of stories about inflated numbers, people that are going for other things, they call them coronavirus. So people are just scared. And that is wrong. How could we, the land of the free, the home of the brave, become like this? I don't understand. It's diabolic. They are diabolic people that want to kill humanity. They are in the government. They are in the FDA. They are in the hospital corporations. It looks like these people have been placed in almost every facet of it. I mean, I have a friend call me from the Bahamas because the COVID is hitting the Bahamas and they will not let them use hydroxychloroquine. Why would a president decide that I'm not going to use a medication that can work to take care of my people?
Yes.
You know something? A friend called me from a pastor friend called me from Trinidad and Tobago. Same issue. They will not let them take the medication. So is this, how can you ban a medicine? Oh, we're just going to listen to WHO. Who is WHO? WHO is supposed to work for the people. Yes. WHO right now is only working for Bill Gates. WHO right now is only working for the globalists that want people to die, put maximum fear on people, and then give us a vaccine. I ask all the time, why would a college dropout like Bill Gates be allowed to make medical decisions? He don't have a clue. He's like one of those mad scientists that holds a vaccine. Oh, there's a picture on him online with him holding a vaccine with a crazy look on his face trying to stick a child. That is the way that guy is crazy. The guy is like he's a maniac.
Yes.
You know something? Nobody should let him make decisions. You know, there have been so many studies that they have done to show that this thing does not work. And in most of the studies, you can link back up to money coming from Bill Gates. Minnesota University did a study to show that hydroxychloroquine does not work for prophylaxis. Totally messed up study. I call it fake science. They did not. Their conclusion was hydroxychloroquine does not work for prophylaxis. But that's not true. The study that they did it for patients that were exposed. When these patients were exposed, they gave them medication 4 days after exposure. They waited 4 days before they put these people on hydroxychloroquine or placebo or whatever. They did not have it with zinc. And then they now reported that, oh, people got infected. And then, boom, they sent out a report. They never even had enough people sign up for the study. They reported that, hydroxychloroquine did not help people that were exposed to COVID. Now their conclusion is that hydroxychloroquine doesn't work as prophylaxis. First of all, that is not what they were looking for. They were looking for hydroxychloroquine did not work for people that were exposed 4 days after they were exposed. They didn't say that. Then, the minute that study came out, within shortly, Bill Gates gave them 3 point something million.
Wow. Coincidence. Said,
Follow the money.
Yeah.
Gilead, that remdesivir. The day Donald Trump came out and said that hydroxychloroquine works, or hydroxychloroquine was going to be a good choice, that same week, within that week, Gilead lost millions in market, billions, not millions, billions in market share, and then became the great campaign. So Dr. Anthony Fauci knows hydroxychloroquine works. He's just evil. That man is a personification of evil, and I'll say that anyway. He knows it works. A lot of these people that are saying it doesn't work, they know. Like the other day, we had Nancy Pelosi, who is almost 80, like I say, he's 102 or something. She went to do her hair with no protection, no mask, no social distancing. Question, why would somebody, I have a lot of people that are in their 70s hiding in their houses, they are scared to come out. Why would somebody like her go out to go do her hair with no protection? It's probably because she's probably on hydroxychloroquine. She knows she cannot catch COVID. So that's why, so I've told most of this, when we went to Washington, D.C., that is when I found that, as we're talking, we're interacting with some of those senators, found that a lot of them had it on board. So it does not make sense for you to have something on board to protect you and then stop the people from having it.
Yeah.
The craziest part is doctors. Many doctors have this medication on board.
Wow.
I have personally put over 100 doctors on hydroxychloroquine, personally. They call me from all over the place, all the states I'm licensed in. They call me all the time to put them on this medication, and I put them on the medication. They are friends and colleagues that have called in this medication, even in other states, that are doctors. They are on this medicine, but they are too scared to treat patients. How can you stand before God and know that you're taking something to protect yourself and you're allowing other people to die? It does not make sense.
I was going to say, what are they doing with this?
In New York, they were all on this medication. They take it. So it's crazy. Now look at Africa. We just had somebody just did an article that scientists are perplexed about the lack of COVID in Africa. I was like, scientists are perplexed? Why are you perplexed? I was like, duh. They have anti-malaria in Africa. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know the only African country that is South Africa, which is in the temperate zone, they don't get malaria in South Africa because the weather there is almost like the weather in Europe. South Africa has about 30-something thousand death, COVID deaths in Africa. About half of them are in South Africa because they ban hydroxychloroquine. They don't have malaria. So the people, they don't have access to anti-malarials. Half of the deaths in Africa are in South Africa. Look at a country like Nigeria. Nigeria, you cannot even social distance in the slums of Ajegunle or Lagos Island. You can't. When COVID seeded into America, and my brothers and sisters hear me so that you can have information and wake up. When COVID seeded into America, at the same time, people left Wuhan and went to Nigeria. When the people got to Nigeria, before they came, the WHO always recommends, and if you're going to sub-Saharan Africa, you should have anti-malarials. So when they came to Nigeria, they were on anti-malarials, atrazoquine, camphoquine, flavoquine, mefloquine, hydroxychloroquine. They were on some kind of anti-malarials. So when they got to Nigeria, they could not seed this infection into Nigeria because they were on anti-malarials. So it knocked out the infection before they got there. In fact, Nigeria did not start having cases until people started leaving Nigeria and going to Europe and coming back. And right now, very few deaths. Why? For a country that massive, for a country that populated. You know what hurts my soul? Is that African countries locked up their government for nothing. African countries are already struggling with poverty-wise. They locked up their government, locked up their people for no reason, locked up their businesses, destroyed their businesses for no reason. They barely had coronavirus. They have all the medications. Right now, I thank God because now that Nigeria have come out in Nigeria, the Nigerian medical system have come out and said that hydroxychloroquine works.
Okay.
So people are taking it.
Good.
It's over the counter in many countries. I called my friend the other day in Nigeria and I was telling her that, listen, you should go on hydroxychloroquine for prevention. She's on a prayer mountain. She doesn't really meet people like that. I said, but take it because people come there. She said, okay, if you want me to take it, I will. So she called her friend. I said, call one of her boys in the house. Go to the chemist and buy me some hydroxychloroquine. While we are sitting there talking, because we talked for a little bit, about 20, 30 minutes, while we are talking, they went and bought her hydroxychloroquine and brought it back to her. Mm. And she's like, okay, yes, I have it. It's right there in front of me. How much should I take? That was amazing. They just went outside the street, went to the chemist, and bought hydroxychloroquine. So we're saying, I was telling our president, Donald, President Trump, make it over the counter. Make a medical decree. Make it over the counter. Yes. It's over the counter in many countries. In India, in many sub-Saharan countries, it's over the counter. Mm. Because it's over the counter, my mom called me the radio because my mom has been on flavoquine and they could not get the flavoquine. She said, okay, I'm going to go get hydroxychloroquine. Just let me know how much you should take. And they just went to the pharmacy and bought it, or to the chemist and bought it. So this drug cannot be that dangerous if you can just get it over the counter all over the world.
Yeah.
Looks like what?
Yeah.
Are we frozen?
We're good. No, it's freezing.
Can you
though.
Hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because my video is frozen. Is your video frozen?
No,
okay,
I can see right. you.
Anyway.
No, it's still good.
Okay, great.
They're trying to stop us. That's all.
Yeah, so interestingly, this medication is over the counter in many countries. Many countries. So there's no reason. So people say, oh, it's hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. It's going to stop your heart. Sanjay Gupta went on CNN to say, hydroxychloroquine is dangerous. It can give you heart. You know, it can kill you. I was like, Sanjay Gupta, what are you reading? You're a neurosurgeon. Have you ever seen a patient with COVID? Have you ever even given anybody hydroxychloroquine? What would be the reason for you to touch hydroxychloroquine? You're a neurosurgeon. What, to put it in their brain? You know what I'm saying? So I was like, why are you going to spill out junk out of your mouth, put people in fear when you don't know what you're talking about? You know what I'm saying? So they just have all these doctors that are going out there doing interviews that are like totally not even taking care of patients. Mm. I even asked, like, Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're standing there making decisions every day on COVID. When is the last time you took care of a patient? When is the last time you placed a stethoscope on a patient's chest? When is the last time somebody stood in front of you and could not breathe? When is the last time you sit down and you saw a family and the wife is sitting there scared because they have diabetes and they can die? When? None. And then we have all these exotic doctors like plastic surgeons or maybe dermatologists or something going where we're waiting for the science. What science are you waiting for? Keep doing your book job or whatever you're doing and stop talking about to people that are actually taking your real patients.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So people are like, well, because you have an MD behind your name doesn't mean you have a clue what we're talking about.
That's right.
Have you ever taken care of a COVID patient? Do you know what I'm saying? You're a pathologist. You're a dermatologist. You're a plastic surgeon. What? Quit making noise. Do you know what I'm saying? Quit making noise. It's not like you're ever going to see a patient standing before you that can't breathe. A lot of them ran and hid in their houses and stopped to telemed because they're scared to come out of their houses. And then they're online making statements because you're an MD and people take you seriously and you're giving credence to foolishness and allowing people to die. It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
Somebody like Dr. Emmanuel, calm down. I say, no, I can't calm down. People are dying. I can't. I just can't calm down. You know what I'm saying? People are coming to my clinic that should not come to my clinic. People have turned my clinic into an emergency room that should not be. People are calling me crying. People are calling me from other cities, telling me, Dr. Emmanuel, my family member is in the hospital. Can we move them to you? I was like, no. I'm not a hospitalist. I don't work in the emergency room. I don't have a clinic. Outpatient, walk in. It is not a doctor. You know something? Don't come here. But they show up anyway. Mm-hmm. And what do I do? What do I do? I have to take care of them.
Of course.
I've had people call me in those critical conditions. So what would I say to people in Canada, doctors in Canada that are hearing me? People that wake up, fight for just the way we fought, fight. Don't just sit down and let them kill your people. You know what I'm saying? We put everything on the line. I put my license, my life, everything on the line. People were scared for me that they were going to attack me. They're going to kill me. Well, they can't kill me. I'm a child of God. I'm God's battle.
Amen.
They can't kill me. But somebody has to fight. We already paved the way. You know what I'm saying? I already became the fall guy. Me and my colleagues, Simone lost her job. Dr. Armstrong, the board came after them. Dr. Osso, we've already put ourselves out there as the fall guys. You know what I'm saying? So you should not sit down and let them just destroy you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So doctors in Canada, wake up.
Yes.
Fight for your family. Fight for your people.
If two or three
doctors start fighting, others will join you. We are here. You already have a precedent. You see, after we went through this, Europe came out and started rioting. It is time for Canada to come out and say, no, Justin Trudeau, that dude, that man is evil. You understand what I'm saying? He goes around with a cute little face, but the dude is evil in personified. Don't let evil Justin Trudeau kill your people. Wake up and fight. Stand for your people. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot just sit down and let the devil destroy us.
No.
We are humans. These creatures, I'm not even sure they are human beings. We need to stand against these creatures. They just want to kill people because it does not make sense for you. You know, right now as we're talking, there are over about 55 different studies that have shown that hydroxychloroquine works. There are about 11 studies that have shown that it doesn't work. And every one of those 11 studies was bogus. It was bogus. We had the ones that they gave medications very high doses, 2,000 milligrams of hydroxychloroquine when the dose should be 200 or 400. Why would you give 2,000? It just showed that toxic doses are toxic. There are other patients that were seen and given medications too late. There are other ones that were seen and, it was not given with zinc. I was not given with Zitromax. So all these studies that are done are bogus. They even had this study that was done in The Lancet that said there were hundreds of thousands of patients. It was just a plain out bug. In fact, the data was fake. Some guys sat in his basement, just gathered names of people and sent it and was published. This had nothing to do with patients, hospital, or anything. And when they found that, when that study came out, WHO said, oh, now we're going to stop using hydroxychloroquine. We're going to stop all the studies. When that came out, the CNN, those diabolic CNN people came out and, oh, it doesn't work. This is a dangerous medication. Then a few weeks later, and then when this study get retracted from Lancet, Not a peep. They did not go back around and say, okay, we were wrong, the study was wrong. No. Then all the studies, so to me, I don't understand how CNN anchors, NBC anchors can spend time saying that an effective medication does not work. People ask me, should we lock down? Should we use masks? I said, the issue is not lockdown or masks. Why are you locking down on something that has effective treatment and prevention?
That's right.
If everybody goes on effective treatment and prevention right now, we'll stop this virus in its tracks.
Yes. Yes.
Why are they doing this to us? They are diabolic. They want to give us vaccines and cheap us. Do you understand? So people need to wake up. They are talking about vaccine. Why do you need a vaccine for an infection that has effective treatment and prevention? Why are you hiding? Why are you blocking a cheap, effective medication so that people can make money with vaccines? Do you know how much people would lose if the masses get this hydroxychloroquine thing and come out screaming? Number one, all these vaccine companies that have received billions and billions of dollars lose money. The people that are getting testing kit, those that are selling masks, those that are, you know what I'm saying? Now,
so all industry.
These people start to lose money. Those that are selling remdesivir, those that are selling, that are going to do convalescent plasma, all kinds of stuff. Many people, if people take this medication as prevention, my staff and I have been on this medication for 6 months. We see COVID patients all the time. We only wear surgical masks. I sent out a tweet the other day. We're in my backyard having a good time. Everybody, we're not social distancing because everybody in that backyard was on hydroxychloroquine. We don't need to social distance if we're on hydroxychloroquine. People come to my church. I make sure everybody in my church gets on hydroxychloroquine. Do you understand? Nobody in my church has gotten infected.
People come here
all the time and we hang out, we party, we praise God and everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tell people, if you're on hydroxychloroquine, you don't need a mask. People come to me like, well, Dr. Stella says mask. I said, I don't care. The argument is not mask or no mask. The argument is, why are you putting masks in front of people when it's so dehumanizing, when you can just put them on hydroxychloroquine? And so that is my thing. Get on prevention.
Yes.
It's a pill you take twice a month, sister. You don't even need it that much. It's twice a month.
That's it?
So Canadians need to come out and fight for the right to try. Canadians need to come out and fight for the right to live. Canadians need to come out on the street and scream and carry on saying, no, we're not going to die. Do you understand? Don't sit down there and let Trudeau and all those globalists kill you. Because they've killed Americans. They've killed so many Americans that the blood of these Americans will cry over them. You understand what I'm saying? And they have fake data. They are gathering data that are showing that people are dying or people have corona when they don't have it, just to produce maximum fear.
Mm.
So that they can come and try to give us a vaccine.
Mm.
Let's talk about vaccine. One of my friends did a study on the stool and did like a genetic mapping of the virus in the stool. Among the 15 people she did initially, they found about 5 different strains. By the time you go to 500 people, we don't know how many strains. It's just like the common cold has so many strains. So my question, how are you going to find vaccine for something that had that many strains?
Right.
How are you going to find vaccine for a coronavirus? They've not been able to find an effective vaccine for the flu. Every year they are doing a new one. The minute that they get one, it mutates to something else. They've not been able to find an effective vaccine for the common cold. How are they going to find an effective vaccine for coronavirus?
Mm.
They can't. So whatever it is that they are trying to give us, it's not a vaccine. They are talking about the mRNA vaccine. They want to introduce something into your body that is going to go into your DNA and rewrite your DNA code. It will make you a chimera. It will make you a non-human, and then you cannot be saved. That is what they talk about in the Bible. I talk about the mark of the beast. And then they want to, if you go online, Google quantum.tattoo. Quantum.tattoo. This was done in Rice University, and Bill Gates sponsored it. They want to be able to give us a tattoo and mark us so that they can be understand. That is the mark of the beast. These
yes.
people are going to be destroyed. We cannot let them do this. This is not in the timing of God for them to come and start giving the mark of the beast.
It was said, though, this is prophesied. This
was
prophesied.
Yes, that's why we're praying. Like, for the past, like, I think we're on, like, day 33 or something. We're doing prayer revival, dealing, just praying and crying out to God for mercy, because these people are so diabolic and evil that only God can save us from them.
Understood.
So we're online on Facebook, on YouTube, every single day from 7 p.m. Central Time. You join us. In fact, if you go on our YouTube and you subscribe, whenever we come on, they will ding you. So that you can join us to pray. We need to pray. And you can go to our website, drstella.org, drstella.org, and just join us so that we can pray, because it is only prayer that's going to save us.
Yes.
Even for those people that are like, oh, we don't know God, it's better for you to get up and start calling on God right now. Because these demonic people, they are going to, you know what I'm saying? They are dealing
yes.
with the devil.
Yes.
They are dealing with the devil. Because if you're not a devil's incarnate, like Anthony Fauci, I believe he's a devil's incarnate, how can you stand and see thousands and thousands of people die, hundreds of thousands of people die, and you see them go, well, I think maybe in some day, cases, maybe over. What is wrong with these people? Do you understand?
Yes.
I know you guys think it's funny, but I'm really upset.
I know. You know why I'm laughing? Because it's the stupidity. I know what you're saying is serious, but the fact that people are listening to this man and taking what he says as gold and
yeah.
not looking anywhere else. It's crazy.
It's so diabolic. I asked one ER doctor that was arguing with me, I don't think hydroxychloroquine works. I said, tell me the hospital you work at. Tell me the exact shifts that you work. We can go back in the past 3 months and find out how many people you have personally killed. This has become like a curse over the people. There's like a veil over the minds of people.
Yes.
You know what is even crazier? Right now, you hear doctors say, oh, if I prescribe it, they're going to come after my license. No, in America, no, they're not going to come after your license. We've already paved the way. We've already become the fall guy. Nobody's coming after your license.
Yeah.
There are people that say that, oh, you cannot get it in Michigan. You cannot get it in California. That is not true. You can get it in any state. It's not banned.
Okay.
There's just been so much misinformation, so much intimidation that people are scared.
Scared.
So right now, we tell people, go to frontlinemds.com, frontlinemds.com, register. Any state will find doctors that will give you this medication.
Okay.
Frontlinemds.com. Any state in America, you find, and I tell Canadians, maybe it's time for you to sneak across the border and get yourself HIV.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's so true. I don't even know where we'd get
if
here. I don't know.
If you cannot get hydroxychloroquine, look for quinine water. Take
What's
it with
it
zinc and vitamin C. It will prevent it. Quinine water. You know, there's the tonic that has quinine in it. Look for tonic water. Take it with vitamin C and zinc. It will help you. You can also look for quercetin. Quercetin.
Okay.
Take it. It will help you. I think quercetin is like 500 milligrams twice a day, I think. Take quercetin and it will help you.
Okay.
Find anything that has quinine in it and take it. Drink some tonic water. Take some zinc. But most importantly, if you have, like I told people, like people across the border here, they'll just drive across to Mexico and buy it over the counter. Have you noticed that Mexicans are not dropping like flies?
Yes.
Because I just cook things over the counter.
Mm.
Just drive across the border and buy it.
Hmm.
So it is. So Canadians, it's time for you to jump on the plane, fly over to Mexico, get you some HCQ and get back home. It's better for you to do that than to get sick and die.
True. It's true.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's time for people to rise up and say enough is enough.
Agreed.
Black people are the people that are dying more, and black people are the people that are hearing me least. You know why? They listen to fake news CNN.
Preach.
They listen to the leftists. The left don't like you.
No.
The left in this country don't like black people. They're just using us.
Hmm.
They listen to fake news CNN, and because of that, they're not getting the medication that they need to live.
Hmm.
They're not hearing. We had a Republican convention once, and white people went there, and they, of course, they got their medication and they leave. Herman Cain went there, and white people are going around without a mask, and you're sitting there following them without a mask. They have hydroxychloroquine on board, you don't. And he ended up dying.
Hmm.
So we need to wake up. This is not, I mean, there's no reason for anybody to even get sick.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I have put hundreds of people on hydroxychloroquine for prophylaxis. I've not seen one yet get infected. My staff take it every other week, just one pill every other week. And we live our lives normally. There's no fear. We're not scared that somebody's going to sneeze on you and you're going to catch a virus. Do you understand what I'm saying? People
yes.
come to the clinic, we hug them, we hug our patients. Diabetics come in and they're looking at you, they are coughing, they are scared. They know we hug them and tell them, it's going to be okay. You're not.
Yeah.
We got you.
Yes.
That is beautiful.
Dr. Emmanuel.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Oh, children.
And then, of course, when
what
this
do we
happens,
do with our children, Dr. Emmanuel?
Children.
Mm.
Most children don't really need hydroxychloroquine because if they get this, it's very mild.
Okay.
But this medication is so safe that you can give it to babies.
Okay.
You can give it to old people. You can give it to pregnant women. You can take it while breastfeeding. It is totally safe.
It's safe.
It's safer than Tylenol.
Okay.
Yes, they actually did a retrospective study, and they found out that in all the time hydroxychloroquine has been around, it has killed maybe 28 people. Tylenol by itself, Tylenol toxicity takes out about 500 people a year just in America.
Oh, wow.
So hydroxychloroquine, it's been around for 65 years. Lupus patients take it twice a day, every day. People say that it can cause heart arrhythmias or irregular heartbeat, but let me tell you something. The same QT prolongation, they say hydroxychloroquine can cause, Zithromax can cause it, Cipro can cause it, Zofran can cause it. Over 100 medications we take on a daily basis can cause the same QT prolongation, and nobody talks about it.
Mm.
Nobody has ever said, do an EKG before they give you CPAP. Nobody has ever said, do an EKG before you take Zofran. So it's so stupid. It's what I call fake science.
Yeah.
And it's entered people's head that some people are like, no, I don't want to take the medication because it's going to kill me. No, it's not going to kill you. Coronavirus is going to kill you.
Yes.
And you know the interesting thing? The flu season is coming. I'm telling everybody, get on prevention. I have a feeling that hydroxychloroquine will also prevent you from the flu because the flu is a coronavirus. I have a feeling. It's just a feeling. So I don't want anybody coming in and saying, Dr. Stella said, you need a double blinded study. We're going to see all my patients that I've put on hydroxychloroquine. We're going to see them during this flu season, whether they're going to get the flu.
Yes. Yes.
And it's good to go on prevention now when the flu season is coming, because that way, if you get the flu, if you will get the flu, you will know that it's the flu. You will not be scared.
Right. You'll know it's
right
not the
now,
virus.
The flu season is coming. We don't know what else is going to be released with it. So we need to get on prevention. Prevention is better than cure. That is my message right now to everybody, to get on prevention. You know, one of the craziest things that happened during this whole thing is when we went viral, CNN tried to discredit me.
Yeah.
They went on my website They took messages that I had preached. I'm a deliverance minister. Like I say, I'm a sniper in the kingdom of God. They went and took my messages that I preached on deliverance, on breaking yokes, curses, and incubus, succubus spirit. They pulled out my messages and they did a hit job on it. They spent days and days and days and trying to discredit me. Incredible. The more they tried to discredit me, the more people wanted to go see them. Oh my God, I've been suffering from that thing that CNN is talking about. CNN drove thousands and thousands of people to my YouTube channel. But we went from 7,000 subscribers to 40-something thousand. The message that they were writing and they're going on and on. So I heard, people are calling me Dr. Stella. I heard from CNN. I've been having this sexual demon harassing my life. I'm heard from CNN. This I've been dealing with this witchcraft. I've been dealing with this. I'm telling you, people are calling from everywhere. We're actually trying to get a revival center built right now because people want to come from everywhere for prayer, for deliverance. And who promoted it? CNN. Only God can make the devil promote you like that. That message went from 175,000 views to 700 and something thousand views within like 3 weeks.
Love it.
And right now, our ministry, when we do programs online, I used to stream online and maybe I'll get 500 people. But when I stream right now, I'll get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Within a day or two, 10,000 people are following the ministry. People are praying. People are coming to the church. You understand? Say, CNN, I could have gone to Washington, D.C., talked about hydroxychloroquine, come back home and just be the COVID doctor. But CNN has turned me into America's pastor. So that's amazing. So I'm not just America's COVID doctor right now. I'm America's pastor. Do you understand? It's amazing, though.
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel. Honestly, you've given us, I didn't expect you to give me this much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I really do. I appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you for all this. Honestly, like, I hope people listen, you know. I really do. I hope people listen to what you said today. Really and truly.
I hope so. For their own sake and for their family's sake, they should listen.
Yes. Absolutely. I want to thank you for coming on, Doctor. Now, Doctor, you had mentioned a couple places where they can find you. Where else can people find you if they want to follow you?
They can follow me on YouTube. They'll follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and of course, Twitter. Our phone number, you can send us a text, 318-792-5972. We cannot send prescriptions to Canada. So people are calling me, like, can you send us a prescription to Canada? No, we can't. Because I don't think we can do it like that. You know, but you can go to frontlinemds.com, cross into America and get registered. You can follow our ministry, Firepower Ministry, on YouTube, on Facebook, drstella.org, drstella.org. That is our ministry, this thing. And of course, if you want to reach our clinic, get information, frontlinemds.com. Frontlinemds.com. You can get treated. Family members can get treated. You know, wherever you are, try and get you some hydroxychloroquine. Whatever you gotta do. If you gotta swim across the ocean to go get you some, swim around the ocean to get you some so that you can take care of your family. Fly to Mexico and buy you some over the counter. Whatever you gotta do. Because you know what? When somebody dies, they're dead. They're not coming back.
That's true.
So whatever you have to do to get the information, get it. Get some quinine, get some quinine tonic, get zinc, vitamin C. You know, keep it healthy, keep your immune system healthy, vitamin D3, like if vitamin D3, vitamin C, zinc, get some quinine tonic water, drink plenty of that, you know, get it and mix it with some, because I think it doesn't take tonic water, but if you can put some juice in it, it probably tastes better. You can use quercetin. People are using ivermectin. So doctors, if you cannot treat your patients with hydroxychloroquine, use ivermectin. And physicians that are hearing me, if you want to do, I will send you the protocol that we're using for hydroxychloroquine. I'll send you the protocol for ivermectin. I'll send you the you can text me 318-792-5972. If you're a doctor and you want us to get the protocols I will be using, we'll send it to you. I have doctors contacting me from like all over the world, from Africa, from India, from you know, different countries, just telling me, Dr. Stella, what are you using? What protocols are you using? So we have put it in like a colorful chat that we can practically send it to whoever.
Could you send it to me, doctor?
Wake up, take care.
Could you send it to me, please?
Yeah, I could send you maybe the prophylactic dose, but you know, it's actually better to give it to a physician, you know. Uh-huh. But you, if, like, people call me that, Dr. Stella, I went across to Mexico and I bought some hydroxychloroquine. How do I take it? Usually I'll send it to them. So yes, okay. When we finish out here, I'll send you our protocols. You know, that's pretty easy. You know, that's fine because it's over the counter in many countries. So it's not really, I can actually tell you, with the hydroxychloroquine 200 milligrams, you take two tablets day one. Then 1 week later, if you're like below 200 pounds, you take one tablet. And then after that, you can just take it every other week.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You start with two tablets this week, one tablet next week, one tablet the third week. You get a good dose in your system. After that, it's just one tablet every other week. Okay. This medication is lasts in your system 30 to 50 days. So you just need two pills in a month. Mm. Just two pills in a month, and you will not catch coronavirus.
Beautiful.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you, doctor. Thank you for your time.